Hi, y'all. This is Lee. Welcome to Hashing It Out with Lee Montgomery. Hey, guys. Today, we're talking about poop, something that so many of us girls, especially Hashy girls with hypothyroidism, actually deal with but don't really want to talk about. So we're going to dive in deep to the poop today. Oh, all things poop today. Liza's super excited. She is here with me today, guys, and she is cringing on the other side of this call right now because she hates everything when it comes to poop. So
bathroom in general, bathrooms of all kinds. I'm not a fan.
Hey, if you were a constipated Hashy girl, you would enjoy this more. Let me tell you, because we have some solutions for you today. So I wanted to talk about basically a few, like the beginning of this, guys. I'm giving data, facts, right? Because I think some of us don't really understand where constipation comes from. So I want to make sure that you understand exactly what constipation is, how common it is, things like that before we go into the solution. So what is constipation? If you Google that, the definition is actually fewer than three bowel movements per week. Only three bowel movements per week, right? And you're considered like okay, which is weird to me. So, however, it can vary person to person. And there's other features of constipation other than just like how often you go. It's the stools are dry and hard, painful and difficult to pass, and you don't feel as though you emptied fully. So I would venture to say for most people, in order to not be constipated, you're probably going more than three times or more than that, but less than every day, right? I will tell you that for myself personally, there was a time in my life where I was going every 7 to 14 days, and that was extremely uncomfortable. And I had no idea that I was constipated, which sounds really weird. You're like, duh, Lee, you weren't going to the bathroom. Well, no one talked to me about it. No doctor asked me. No one asked questions about it. I didn't know that that was a problem. And I also think about, where do they get these three bowel movements per week to determine that's the amount? Well, they're probably looking at general population who's probably chronically constipated, right? So if we take out the constipated people, how often do normal, healthy people go to the restroom? Chances are it's on a daily basis, right? Unless there's something else going on. So having said that, how common is constipation? Well, the number that I found, you know, on the internet was 2.5 million people see their doctor for constipation every year. And think about it, that's only the people that actually go to the doctor. I never went to the doctor for this. Okay. So 2.5 million. So again, we are a chronically constipated society, kind of like that dehydration. If you haven't listened to that podcast, go listen to it. So there are some people that are more prone to constipation, older age, things just slow down, right? Including your bowels. Being a woman, especially pregnancy or postpartum due to hormone changes, those that have a low fiber intake, people that are on medications for chronic issues, and those with certain neurological diseases and digestive disorders. So we're looking at like the IBS people, we're looking at people with Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, stuff like that, anything neurological. So what exactly or how do you become constipated? This one was interesting. When I got to this part of it, I thought, you know, I've never actually thought through what constipation is. So basically, your colon absorbs too much water from the waste, like your food goes in, right? Becomes waste. And your colon is absorbing too much water from the waste, which dries out the stool, making it hard and difficult to pass. So if you're constipated, the food could possibly be moving, or most likely is moving too slowly through your digestive tract, giving the colon more time, too much time to absorb water, leading to a hard, dry stool that is hard to pass, whatever, right? So I think about this. Have you ever heard of like the, it's a stool test where you swallow certain things and you follow them to see how long it passes through you. And that can kind of determine if you're constipated or not. They want it in a certain amount of time. And I don't have that data here, but they want it to pass in a specific amount of hours. That's what they're talking about here. So people that are constipated, it moves too slow. Your colon absorbs more water, makes it hard. Now we have a problem actually eliminating. So constipation isn't something we should ignore. don't be Lee back in the day, because it can actually lead to complications. And I actually suffered from one of these, two of these complications. One was hemorrhoids. So if you have hemorrhoids, you have to ask yourself, are you constipated? Chances are you probably are. Tears in the lining of the anus called an anal fissure, which I, working in the medical field for years, this was something very common. Infection in pouches that get trapped for, and they actually form off the colon wall. So this is diverticulitis. And you hear a lot of people talk about having diverticulitis, and I have never once heard people correlate it to constipation. And it was listed as a complication on here, which was interesting.
Yeah.
You can get a pileup of too much poop, which is impaction. And I actually suffered from impaction early on in my college years. I had to actually go into a doctor and be unimpacted and still had no serious conversation about constipation or what was causing me constipation, which I still look back and think, why that was a perfect opportunity for someone to say, Lee, this is a problem.
Yeah. It just like seems like a giant failing at that point on
yes.
the medical community for not yes. being like, why is a college age woman here with this issue? You know?
Yes. Yes. And is it because the doctors are uncomfortable talking about it? I don't know. It's so weird to me that they didn't take that opportunity. And then there's actually women who get damage to the pelvic floor from straining from the constipation that leads to stress urinary incontinence, which is pretty significant because you also hear women postpartum, which can be lead to constipation, that end up with stress urinary incontinence, and they correlate it to having babies.
So that could definitely be like a compound effect then that we're yes. not considering.
Yeah. So some of these complications, obviously I'm like, oh, duh, I knew that. But some of these, I was like, wow, why aren't we talking about this more? And so I want to talk about like the causes of constipation. So there's usually outside of medical diagnosis, right? There's usually some pretty common things that can cause us to be backed up or constipated. The one you hear about all the time is low fiber diets, right? And that is just the way of the world now, especially the standard American diet. We have so many people eating boxed foods that are fortified. Not the same, guys, not the same. We need to be eating higher fiber foods, eating real food. So staying away from that low fiber diet and being very intentional there. Dehydration. Once again.
Oh, Lee, let me stop you there. You're saying we can't just like dry scoop Metamucil.
No dry scooping Metamucil, not living on raisin bran, you know, all of those things, fiber one, everything. We've got fiber one chips. We've got fiber one crackers. We've got fiber one bars. That is not going to work your way into healthy bowels. Now,
okay.
Does
so
it
we're
maybe
looking for
help?
unprocessed natural fiber that occurs in the actual food themselves.
Yes, yes, and we'll go into that more in a bit when I actually talk about like the solutions. But the low fiber diet to me is like pretty standard across the board. It's an issue with almost every disease, right? Mm-hmm. process that people are going through.
Okay,
is that we've adapted to this standard American diet, which is a bunch of processed crap. Not saying there's not a time and a place for that, but it shouldn't be the majority of our food. And then the dehydration, which we have a whole podcast on that, guys. So if you haven't listened to that, go back into our podcast platform, take a listen. We live in a chronically dehydrated America. It is something that is so simple to fix, yet so hard to do. It's not easy because we have to like put focus there, be intentional. And so just simply drinking your water every day can keep you from being dehydrated, not moving your body enough, changing in routine. So you hear a lot of people that say they get backed up or they get constipated when they travel, maybe change in eating can facilitate or contribute to that. Changing your bedtimes, how your sleep patterns can contribute to that. Increased consumption of things like dairy or gluten. I've seen people say that they have a direct correlation between what they eat and their bowel movements. Stress, which we know, right? Like gut related. Because how many of you, when you get super stressed, most people either have like a bout of diarrhea or they become constipated. right? So you think about
one
like
extreme, one extreme,
it's one or extreme the or the other. Like, what is your body's going to be different? But I think about before athletic events growing up, you had those people that were on the side, either running to the bathroom to go poop or on the sidelines puking, right? Like it's almost like an adrenaline effect or something, but
I'm a puker.
Yes. Yes.
I don't like to talk about this stuff, right?
Yes. holding your poop is another cause. So we live in a society where like, we don't talk about poop much. We do a lot more now than we did back in the day, but like you didn't talk about pooping in front of your friends or your family or your boyfriend or your new fiance or your new husband. Right. And so we wait until they leave because we don't want to poop in front of them. And next thing you know, we've caused ourselves to be backed up and we can't go. So don't hold your poop. Medications.
Well, this is something that I've kind of noticed being around you and kind of all your health coaching friends and everybody who's more along the lines of like holistic, natural behavioral solutions to these problems that are not being addressed or even mentioned by the medical community. Something you guys talk about a lot. And so yes. For me, that's not something I grew up ever talking about. So it's funny to me because it does make me uncomfortable, but I've seen you literally get in front of a room full of people and absolutely discuss bowel movements.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing that is kind of funny because while it's uncomfortable, I know it's really needed. And so it's kind of exciting to know that this more natural community, this more health focused and behavioral and health solutions community is moving in that direction. Because if nobody's talking about it, because we don't want to, because it's uncomfortable, then it's going to get even more uncomfortable, right? Mm-hmm. Because we're not going to fix it.
Right. Right. And I think it's just super important that we take the stigma away, right? Like we become comfortable. I mean, we count the poops of our tiny babies.
Right.
When do we quit caring about that? Why do we only care about that for a baby? Why don't we care about that for an adult? Right.
Right.
If it's important then, it's important now. And you've been with me when I travel, you know, when I got to go, I got to go and I excuse myself. And I don't care if you know where I'm going.
Right.
I am the queen of finding one staller. So I'm not going to lie about that. Nothing wrong with that.
Pro tip.
Pro tip. For 20 years, I worked in a hospital. I knew where every one staller was because everybody wants a little bit of privacy. Other things that can cause chronic constipation or constipation in general can be pain meds, ibuprofen, antidepressants, antacids like your Tums that are getting rid of other things in your digestive system are causing a side effect of constipation. Iron pills, allergy meds, that one was a surprise to me. And of course, there's some people that have medical conditions that there's an increased likelihood. And the first one on the list was hypothyroidism. So yes, I'm here. And yes, I talk to Hashi girls, you know, people with Hashimoto's, but the majority of my Hashi girls are actually hypothyroid. And that's why we're talking about this today, because so many of them, they don't come to me saying, Lee, I'm constipated and I need you to fix that. They figure out when we start talking and I start asking questions that, oh yeah, I'm not going to the restroom like I should. And I didn't know that was a side effect of hypothyroidism. And I didn't know I need to fix that. So typically for a Hashi girl, it is a side effect that they don't even know exists, if that makes sense.
Well, and it's funny you say that because as we go through your program, Thriving Through Hashimoto's with, you know, new groups, one of the funniest things is so many of the women show up and have, you know, they tell you that their main symptoms are weight gain, or they tell you that their main symptoms are fatigue or other things. And then it's immediately, I always see it in like two chapters or two sections. It's when you talk about bowel movements and when you talk about sex, immediately everyone's like, oh wait, no, I have that too. Like, mm-hmm. Oh no, I wasn't going to tell you this, but like, here's all of this. And so I think that's something that, again, two subjects that are uncomfortable. So people shy away from, mm-hmm. but as we shy away from them, how long are we going to live with those problems?
Yes. Yes. And just bringing awareness so people aren't so uncomfortable. They know you want to talk about it. And the more I ask questions, typically those are the answers that I get. They're like, me too. And then they move, right? Like they don't want you to see their face anymore. other medical conditions it's common in, diabetes, obviously IBS, diverticular disease, intestinal obstructions, lupus. And like with the intestinal obstruction, if that's you, if you have a past history of this, a lot of the things that I'm going to tell you will help your body, but they won't solve the issue. That is a medical condition that you need to go see a doctor for, right? I'm talking about most people that have chronic constipation, and it's because of their lifestyle that it's happening, not because of an underlying true medical condition. So even with a Hashimoto's hypothyroidism, just getting the thyroid imbalance will help with the chronic constipation. But most of us got to a hypothyroid or Hashimoto state because of lifestyle. So it's kind of, again, it's that combined effort.
Right. Well, and that's probably a big reason why people don't like to talk about it either. And you and I've talked about this before, Lee, but so many doctors don't like us because we're not a one solution kind of patient, you know,
right.
It takes kind of digging a little deeper.
Right. And being comfortable with, you know, I think doctors, they have good intention, but most people want a pill. Most people want an easy fix. Most people don't want to be told to change their diet, to stay hydrated, to move their body. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, and what we're finding is that in this community, these girls do want to participate in their own healing, and they want more because the pills aren't working effectively. And so that's what we want to do. That's what we're here for, is to provide that knowledge. So on to the good stuff. So how do we stay regular after being the girl like me that maybe pooped every 7 to 14 days? And most of the time when I was going then, it was with the use of a laxative. 1980s girls, raise your hand if you know what Correctol is, right? That was how I was stimulating them. And then what was happening is I was having rebound constipation due to high laxative use. So I was not actually using laxatives to lose weight like a lot of the girls used to do. I was using it because I literally was not pooping. Like, it was such a problem. And so these are the things I'm going to list next are the things that have helped me and have helped many of my Hashi girls avoid the route of getting medical intervention or chronic laxative usage. And again, these things don't happen overnight. Guys, if you've been chronically constipated for years, you're not going to fix this in 2 days of following this routine, right? This took me months of practicing to get to where, I mean, I got better. I started eliminating more, but it took months before it was a regular routine that I could appreciate.
Sure.
And really start to feel the difference. So number one, we've kind of already talked about this one, but staying hydrated. So again, we have an entire podcast on this. I would encourage you to go back and listen to that podcast so that you can learn why hydration is important and how to go about it to make it easier for you. But the gist of it, start with half your body weight in ounces. So if you weigh 150 pounds, you would start at 75 ounces minimum. Everyone is different. You're going to work your way from there. Me, I live in basically South Central Texas. It's hot. It's humid. We sweat a lot out here. So while 75 ounces is my textbook amount of water, I actually function better closer to 100. Okay. So my goal is to hit a minimum of 75, but closer to 100 ounces of water every single day. So staying hydrated, high fiber diet. I'm not talking about fiber supplements. I'm not talking about Metamucil, Fiber One, any of those things. I am talking about eating your veggies and your fruits, your high fiber foods. Here, you want to start at 3 to 4 servings of veggies daily. Again, this is a starting point. Okay. Start there. What does that look like? Colorful veggies, leafy greens, right? Not iceberg lettuce, not romaine. Like, we're looking at spinach, arugula, spring mixes, adding in your carrots, beets, radishes, green onion, artichokes, okra, you know, all the things. Like, you want to have a nice variation in veggies, 3 to 4 servings daily. What is a serving? Weighed out usually about 100 to 150 grams or 1 or 2 cups, depending on what the veggie is, right? And 1 to 2 servings of fruit a day. That's going to vary depending on your lifestyle. Do you like fruit? Do you not like fruit? I am not the girl that will ever tell you not to eat fruit. I think fruit is wonderful. And then just keep in mind on these veggies and these fruits, it's typically the outside. It's the skin where the fiber is. So don't peel your apples, wash them and eat the skin. If you can, you know, eat the outside of your fruits and veggies, because that's where the majority of the fiber is coming from.
And Lee, I'm just going to add in here, because this is something you helped me with. I have never been a constipation girl, but I know a lot of women who we've talked about cascades of symptoms and also of sort of afflictions that we get when we start with Hashimoto's and hypothyroid. And one of those we get quite a bit from people is women who have hormone imbalance and then in turn lose their gallbladder. Mm-hmm. We've talked about before, I don't have a gallbladder. Had I met Lee and known her better before, I probably would still have a gallbladder because I wouldn't have let them take it out as the first line of defense. But for women without a gallbladder, we can be the opposite because our body is not effectively storing bile. We're releasing it all the time because there's no storage facility for us. So what you eat can really make you run to the bathroom. So even though constipation was not an issue for me, when I started doing more fiber and adding in more vegetables, it sort of crowded out, and that's something Lee likes to say, but sort of crowded out some of the foods that I were eating that were not as, nice to my system. And so once I started doing that, just adding in fiber actually helped me to have more predictable bathroom habits versus, oh my God, I just ate at Chick-fil-A and we have to go home right now. Like, this mm-hmm. is not good. Yes. Once I changed that and added fiber in my mind, that was because you can't go to the bathroom. But adding fiber in actually helped me a ton to be way more regular rather than emergency use.
Right. And saying that, just bringing up the regular, I talk about that, but your bowels should be predictable. Most people with healthy bowel movements go at the same time every day. So even if you use that as part of the learning process to learn your body, like I have my body basically trained to go in the morning. And so when I miss that bowel movement, it becomes, it's a red flag for me. Like, why did I miss it? I start evaluating my day, right? Or my previous day and say, how can I prevent this? Or how can I stimulate the bowel movement to come later in the day? So anyway, that was a good transition there to say, yes, bowel movements should be predictable. And most of us that have healthy bowel movements are on a schedule. They shouldn't be random throughout the day, right? At least your main one. Sometimes I do get random ones throughout the day because depending on how much fiber I eat, but for the most part, they should be predictable. How do I get high fiber? You know, for me, the easiest way, I'm not going to lie. Yes, I'm a health, nutrition, lifestyle coach. I don't like to eat veggies for breakfast. Sorry. I don't want spinach in my eggs. I rarely like to throw spinach in my smoothies. Like, I just want to eat my regular breakfast foods. Fiber or veggies aren't a big deal for me then. So I like to do what we call the big arse salad, right? It's a huge salad at either lunch or dinner where I try to have the rainbow in it. Every color in there, you know, usually I can get 3 to 5 servings of veggies in that one salad. And that really helps me to just knock that out of the park. Instead of thinking, I've got a heavy veggie for breakfast. Now I got to figure out something for lunch. I've got to cook something for dinner. Veggies can be cooked. They can be steamed. They can be roasted. Air fryers make veggies delicious, but you can eat them raw. And if you struggle with bringing home veggies and they're ending up in the veggie graveyard because you won't cut them, buy pre-cut veggies. That was a life changer for me. Or like, you know, that it saved everything. It saved the veggies from going to the graveyard. So cost a little bit more money, but if you're going to eat them, who cares? Spend the extra money. The other things that I did besides the veggies and the fruit were including other high fiber products into my daily regimen. So hemp, flax, chia, all high fiber, right? Help with digestive issues. They help with, you get a little bit of protein from those things. They're anti-inflammatory. Like, there's some really good things that come from those products. And I throw those into a smoothie. I typically do have a smoothie or a smoothie bowl, like an homemade acai bowl, probably 4 to 6 days a week. And so dumping that into those smoothies, you don't taste it. Really will bump that fiber up for me pretty significantly. And so that is an easy way for me to add fiber to my daily regimen. Most of all, make it fun, make the salad something that tastes good to you, use a fun dressing, to make it more palatable. You know, I always tell people the best vessel to get veggies in a kid is ranch dressing. You can do that with yourself too. There's nothing wrong with that, right? Most people need about 18 to 30 grams. women, I would tend to say we steer closer to the 25-ish, right? But you've got to, trial and error is what's going to get you there. You've got to figure out where you belong. Because for years, people told me 30, 35 grams. And what I notice is when I get closer to 30, 35 grams, I become, I get bubble gut. I get bloated. I don't feel great. Gassy. So too much fiber can cause you to have symptoms as well. So the best way to figure that out is to get to know your own body, which is my next point here, so that you know exactly this is how much fiber I need on a daily basis so that I'm pooping every single day. What does get to know your body mean? Keeping a food log. This is not a forever thing, guys. This is just maybe take a week or two to log everything you're eating, so that you can learn. There's so much value and information in logging your food. You get to learn how much fiber are you currently eating. When you sneak more in, what stimulates that bowel movement every day? Where are you landing on average that you consistently have a bowel movement? What amount does your body function well with? And by that, I mean, you're getting a bowel movement, but you don't get the effects of the bubble gut, the bloating feeling, right? And are there any foods that cause your bowels to slow down? We see this a lot with dairy and gluten. So pay attention, not just to the amounts you're eating when you're getting to know your body, but the actual foods. And are there any trends that you can catch on to that you can fix so that you continue to have those normal bowel movements? Next one is move your body. Simple. This can be in any form. We have become a sedentary America. We sit to work. We sit to watch TV. We are a drive-through society, so we don't even stand to cook anymore. You know what I'm saying? We just don't move our bodies like we used to. So moving in any form is super helpful to get things stimulated. This can be walking. It can be HIIT training, running, lifting, yoga. I love what I call digestion walks. And that was huge in my healing of constipation. Basically, every time I ate, especially my main meals, I was taking a 5 to 10 minute stroll. So it was just vertical, upright, walking, not power walking, not walking for exercise, just going outside and moving my body for 5 to 10 minutes to allow my body to start the digestive process because of gravity, right? Like it starts to pull it down. You get those stomach acids flowing. This has been a game changer for many of my Hashi girls, to simply get them moving more as we do what we call digestion walks. This one is a funny one, and I always laugh when I see this commercial, but how do you sit on the toilet? Our bodies were not made to sit in the angle we sit at on the toilets. So you want to, if you're having trouble with elimination, it really literally can be the makeup of your body, right? So try raising your feet. You can try leaning back, getting into that squat position. Think about toddlers when they start to poop, right? When they start walking, what do? They go get in a corner and they squat. It allows for easy elimination. So there's something called a squatty potty, super helpful. If you are finding yourself having to move a lot to get the bowels flowing, a squatty potty is probably something you need to put in your Amazon cart today. Super helpful, will get you in the right position. Yes, it's kind of funny, but typically once you go squatty potty, you don't go back. I will say this next one was probably the biggest thing that helped me, and it was developing a routine. Okay. We live again in a high energy stress society where we literally wake up and we're already behind. We wake up and we're rushing to get ourselves dressed. We're rushing to get our kids out the door. We're not eating. We're not drinking. We're not taking time to let our bodies function. And so I literally wake up to start my morning routine, but it also incorporates my bowel movement routine. And I'm not talking hours of time. I'm literally saying it takes about 5 to 10 minutes for this to occur. And there's some days where I wake up and if I smell my coffee brewing, I don't even have to sit down to do the rest of it. So what does that look like for me? I wake up, I go pee, I take my medication, my thyroid medication, and I put my coffee on to brew. I then get my kids ready and out the door. And then I immediately go and make my cup of coffee, sit down at the same place at my table, and I start to read or do something that is relaxing for me. this, again, this routine can take less than 5 to 10 minutes once you get your kids out the door, right? But give yourself that time. And if you're a working mom, so like, hey, Lee, when I leave to get the kids out the door, I'm going to work, then you need to wake up early enough to do it before the kids get up, right? You just need that 5 to 10 minutes where you're sitting, chilling, relaxing, allow the body to do what it needs to do. Same setup every single day. When I travel, ask Liza, she travels with me. I wake up, I get my coffee, I go and I sit in the bed and I sip on my coffee while I read or scroll or do something to allow the bowel movement to come, right? So again, this is some sort of routine that stops you from the rush out the door to giving some mindfulness towards, I need to give my body time to do what it needs to do.
And for the record, a whole bunch of really fit people at these conferences that we go to are always asking Lee for tips because she's the only one who is regular when she travels. And yes. So literally we will be accosted in the hallway on the way to lunch with people that are like, hey, Lee, what should I be doing? Why isn't this going well? Mm-hmm. And so you'd just be surprised at like how incredibly fit and healthy these people are who are still asking Lee for help on this. So don't feel terrible if you're a hashi girl and you feel like this is a weird symptom. This is a pretty common symptom just everywhere. And people just aren't talking about it.
Yes. Yes. They don't call me the poop queen for nothing. but I do, I think it's important. I coach all of my clients that what you do at home, you should be doing on vacation. So when you are traveling, still waking up, still drinking that coffee or whatever you need in the morning, maybe it's warm lemon water, having that same routine so that your body can function the way it needs to function. Speaking of coffee, stimulants, are those okay to use? And if you do a Google search, you're going to find people that say, you shouldn't be using stimulants. Don't use stimulants. My thing is that I'm drinking coffee anyway. So I'm going to use it to my advantage. I do a small amount of coffee in the morning. Yes, I make 8 cups of coffee every morning because that's the only way it tastes good. But I only drink, and I have a small coffee cup, maybe 2, 2.5 of these, which aren't even a full cup, like 8 ounce, right? Or 16 ounce. What's in a cup? 16.
Eight.
Yes. Cut that out, Nick. just kidding.
Standard American diet sizing. Yes. We don't even know. Yes.
It's
a big
now.
Gulp. A 32 ouncer is a cup now.
So this actually fits 6 ounces in it. Mm-hmm. So I'm drinking maybe 3 at the most. So using caffeine, even the smell of the coffee grounds will stimulate a poop for me. Get things moving. If you're not a caffeine person and you don't do well with caffeine, that's okay. Think of what can you introduce into your morning routine to help with that. So I see a lot of people doing warm lemon water or green tea or a black tea, like a warm one with that lemon in there will help stimulate some of the bowels, like the citrus helps with that. And then there are some people that will use a stimulant like a smooth move tea, right? And that is, the thing is that has senna, which is considered a laxative. So I tell people, if you're going to do smooth move, I would actually do it before bed at night so that you stimulate the bowel movement in the morning. I did use this when I was training my bowels, but let me warn you, it's not a go-to for me anymore unless there's something extreme going on because it's a natural laxative. I get rebound constipation from it. So when I first started my journey and I was super constipated, we're talking, haven't gone in 10 days. I needed to do whatever I needed to do to get my bowel movements going. So I used the smooth move tea, but I started implementing all these other things and I slowly just got myself off of that. And then my body took over. So be careful with those. But yes, I think having some sort of stimulant in the morning, whatever that is for you, is okay as long as it's used in moderation.
Okay. So even the herbal teas and stuff like that, just because it's an herb does not mean that it's not technically a chemical stimulant. I mean, that's what it is. We derive medicine from.
Yes. Yes. Okay. If tea works better for you, go for it. If it's coffee, go for it. Listen, I've even done decaf coffee. It was the act of smelling, sitting, relaxing, drinking that stimulated the poop, not so much the caffeine.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, right. And I'm sure temperature also has something to do with it too. Warm versus cold.
Yes. Yes. Gets it going. And the last thing is supplements. So I can't do this without talking about supplements because I use supplements on a daily basis that have definitely helped my bowel health. But I'm going to tell you now, if you skip everything that I just talked about and you go straight to the supplements, while it will get your bowel movements going, that's not healthy bowel movements. We have to be hydrated. We have to be drinking fiber. The consistency of them won't be what you want them to be. Okay. So I try to steer clear of laxatives because of the rebound constipation, but I have found that for most of my Hashi girls, that once they implement everything that I just talked about, constipation usually clears itself, or we're at least going on a daily basis. And now we start focusing on, am I actually eliminating enough, right? Because as a girl that goes daily, I can tell when my body hasn't fully eliminated. So now that's a whole nother podcast probably, right? The one supplement that I recommend that still boggles me that doctors, this isn't the first line of defense for doctors when it comes to constipation, is magnesium. Magnesium is so helpful for so many things, not just keeping us regular. It is it's really great for calming effect, like before you go to bed to help you sleep. It's great for muscle recovery, restless leg syndrome. Raise your hand if you're a Hashi girl with restless leg syndrome. That's actually how I found magnesium. And then later on figured out, oh, it also helps with elimination. So for us to keep you regular, most people recommend a magnesium citrate, however you want to say that. I did not have great experience with that. That became a laxative effect. I was having super runny stools with the magnesium citrate. So I did a little research and I found a different magnesium that is a tri-blend. It has three different types of magnesium. I do require a little higher dose of magnesium because I metabolize it pretty quickly because of the way I work out. But I need enough that it supports my muscle recovery. It supports my restless leg syndrome and it supports my bowel movements without giving me runny stools every morning. So that is why the tri-blend works for me. And we will definitely, we can link that. Is that okay, Liza, somewhere in the podcast, one that I use?
When you go to hashygirls.com/podcast, we'll have some goodies there that are all about poop. So if you want to go there to check those out, they'll be there and available for you to download. On a awesome note about magnesium citrate, that is the cheapest form of magnesium. So that's why you'll see that in a lot of your supplements that are like the lower end supplements, they'll usually be just a single type of magnesium and it's magnesium citrate. That is the harshest. And it is, they put a ton in there. Basically the concentration is very high because your body does not readily use it. So you're kind of overdosing if you're taking magnesium citrate and it's a harsh, right. It's a harsh response that many of us will have.
Right. And honestly, in your beginning stages, if you are in a spot like I was, where you are that constipated, citrate may be the tool to get you not constipated. And then you move into the tri-blend later. I also use citrate as a tool, like around surgeries. Like if when I had surgery and I had pain meds, normally we get constipated with that. And a citrate will help that faster than mine will. But on the daily, I love my tri-blend. I take it every single day. It travels with me. There is not a day that I go by without taking my magnesium supplement because it helps that much. So we'll link that for you. Look for that in the podcast notes later. So I want to talk about how, honestly, as I've gotten older, especially if you're a youngster listening to this in my 20s, but as I've gotten older, my daily bowel movements have become super important to me. Like my day starts off better if I'm eliminating. When I miss a bowel movement, I think about it. I want to know why, like what changed? Do I need to change my diet that day? There's a direct correlation to how I feel. I felt my absolute worst when I was chronically constipated. And I had no idea how bad I felt until I became regular. And so I just encourage you, if you are that person, put some effort into this. Start going to the bathroom every day. Make it a priority because you probably don't know how much good you're missing out on. Like I talked about when I travel, still a priority, but looking forward and trying to offset any occasion that could cause constipation. So when we travel, me and Liza travel in April, I plan for that. I make sure that I'm drinking water. Liza knows we stop and we get a case of water that goes into our hotel room so that we stay hydrated. I bring extra magnesium with me because sometimes I need an extra dose when I'm traveling because things get locked up because of the change in scenery, making sure I get veggies in at least one of the meals. So, and we're moving. Poor Liza, I make her walk everywhere when we go because movement matters, right?
It's the worst.
But then also when I had surgery, staying ahead of that game. So I knew when I had my last surgical experience, knowing that pain meds can cause constipation, I got on that ahead of time. So I actually took a little bit of extra magnesium 3 days prior to my surgery to get my bowel movements moving. They were a little bit loose, but that way when the pain meds set in, it wasn't as severe a constipation. I was already on top of it instead of waiting until it happens. So again, these things probably sound extreme to you in your head because you're not at a point where you feel good yet because you are chronically constipated. So just encouraging you that once that switch flips, you will find yourself doing these things as well because it becomes that important. So, and the last thing I just want to say is that this took me months to correct, guys. I had years of chronic poop issues. It didn't happen overnight. So just like with everything that we talk about, you're not going to start implementing these habits and see changes immediately. You have to be consistent, give them time, do them over and over again. And over the next couple of months, you should start to see the changes in the right direction. And I'll encourage you, don't skip what I talked about and go straight to the supplements. That's not going to get you where you need to be. This is more about bowel health, not just action. We don't just want to be moving them. We want to make sure they're nice and healthy bowel movement. So that's all we have for you today. Go to hashygirls.com/podcast. We're going to be listing supplements that we do recommend. We will also have a fiber FAQ there where we will give you a list of high fiber, real whole foods that we include in our daily regimen to keep our bowels healthy. If you have any questions, as always, you can reach out to me. Find us on Instagram at Lee Montgomery, L-E-I-G-H Montgomery, or on Facebook as Thriving Through Hashimoto's.
Y'all have a wonderful day and we'll chat again soon.